Our presentation tonight is on the Seventh-day Adventist Church. What you have in the manual in your hands are photocopies of materials produced by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The sole exceptions to this point of origin are for the cover and warning pages and the last three pages, which are from a book called Are Seventh-day Adventist False Prophets, A Former Insider Speaks Out, by Wallace Slattery. You wouldn't necessarily use the information there on those last three pages in a witnessing situation, but I thought it was too important not to include. It was important enough that you should have it for yourselves. One problem that nearly always exists when dealing with groups that consider themselves to be the only true church is that they are always suspicious of any material coming from outsiders that deals with spiritual issues. At the very least, they will consider those things spiritually inferior, you know, if not actually dangerous. But their suspicions are usually elevated to outright paranoia when they see such material that is actually directed toward them. That kind of material they see as the fiery darts of the adversary, okay? So in witnessing situations with a Seventh-day Adventist, you'll probably want to remove those last three pages along with the cover and the warning sheet. It's important when you confront the Seventh-day Adventist or any members of any only true church type of group that you have only their own material in your hands, okay? Well, of course you can have your Bible as well, but you don't want so-called anti-material, okay? It's just their material and your Bible. You must remove the cover here because for these people, just the fact that there is a cover there, okay, that means somebody went to some effort to put this thing together. And if somebody went to some effort to put it together, well, then the general assumption is they had to have had bad motivations. Why else would they do it, you see? And if they had bad motivations, it doesn't matter that these are photocopies. It's just got to be bad. That's just the thinking, you know, that little by little, slowly but surely gets conditioned into the thinking of the members of groups that consider themselves to be the only true church. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists actually don't use that expression, the only true church. The Mormons use that. The Jehovah's Witnesses call themselves God's special and unique organization, his channel for dispensing meat in due season. Seventh-day Adventists refer to themselves as the remnant church. But all of those terms, they're basically equivalent in meaning. The remnant church is, in fact, God's true church, the spiritual church. And as we'll see shortly, Adventists will acknowledge that God has people or children in other churches, but the whole object for the Adventist is to get them out of those other churches, which they call the apostasy, and bring them into the Seventh-day Adventist church, and thereby prepare them for the second coming of Christ. Of course, excuse me, if they're not prepared for the second coming where they are in other churches, what exactly does that mean? We'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, one of the first things that we have to say about the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the frank admission that there are genuine Christians within it. With the exception of the Worldwide Church of God, probably the Seventh-day Adventist Church has been shaken by the real gospel more than any other cultic group that you could name. Over the years, controversies within Adventism over the gospel have moved various individuals, even a few congregations, to leave Adventism for the sake of the real gospel. But overall, the group has remained quite cohesive. Rather than actually splintering, the Adventist Church instead has tended to polarize. I suppose you could name three or four different types of Adventist Church members. Broadly speaking, you have a small percentage who are genuinely taken with the gospel, who are born-again Christians. You have liberal Adventists who question to one degree or another the fundamentals not only of Adventism, but even Christianity itself at times. And then you have those who are firmly committed to Adventism itself as a system, whether the really old-time historical Adventism or the somewhat modified modern Adventism. And they will defend it, you know, whichever of those two it is, they'll defend it at virtually any cost, even at the cost of the gospel. And unfortunately, most of the people in positions of power and leadership, both ecclesiastical and administrative, those are the ones who have retrenched into the more hardline defense of Adventism. There are some exceptions, of course, and our purpose here is not to judge individuals or to try to tell you, okay, this person at the general conference level, he's okay, and this person at the union level, he's not, you know, nothing like that. We can't make judgments of individuals, but we have to concede the fact that within the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and possibly at every level, you will find some people who are genuinely born again. And the reason for this is simple. There are statements from authorities within the Adventist Church and even Ellen White herself, which do correspond with and even in places teach a biblically sound Orthodox gospel. Statements that would support what we would say as inheritors of the Reformation is the gospel, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in and because of Christ alone. That's the bottom line of what it means to be a biblically sound Christian. There are a lot of other doctrines that come with it, certainly, but really that's the bottom line of being a Christian. And there are statements within Adventism, even from some official sources, including Ellen White herself, that appear to teach that or at least corroborate it or go along with it. And the problem with Adventism is that it's always spoken with a forked tongue on this issue. Because Adventism also holds to other doctrines that have really shaped and defined the movement, the doctrines around which the movement coalesced in the first place. If there were no such doctrines, there never would have been this group to begin with. And these other doctrines, unfortunately, many of them simply cannot be reconciled to that gospel I just described. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in and because of Christ alone. So, when you meet a Seventh-day Adventist, you need to give them time to talk. You need to listen closely to them. You may need to ask them some penetrating questions to find out whether, in fact, they really are Christian or not. They may be. You can't just assume that they're not. But on the other hand, even those who are Christians, their burden typically is to get you into their church. That somehow that matters. That really shouldn't matter if we're all Christians. But it usually does matter to them, and often even to the evangelicals among them. And that's the problem. It's just like with the Mormons. You know, when the Mormon missionaries come to you, they don't come to you with a message of salvation in Jesus Christ. They come with a message about Joseph Smith, modern revelation, and the only true church. And when the Adventists come to you, typically they're bringing an equivalent message, a message of Ellen White, the spirit of prophecy, that's modern revelation, and the remnant church. So one thing, however, that they usually don't talk about, which we're going to look at today, it's still a major part of their doctrine, but they don't usually hear, you don't usually hear it while they're working to convert you, is the doctrine of the investigative judgment. If you do hear about it while they're trying to convert you to be an SDA, and I say SDA, that means Seventh-day Adventist, I'm going to use that a lot for brevity's sake. When you do hear about the investigative judgment while they're trying to convert you to be an SDA, it's usually going to be a rather light and cursory overview of the whole thing. It's not really going to give you a clue as to the real problems inherent in that doctrine. Well, if you look in your manual, we want to look at some of these key doctrines that are troubling from a biblical and a Christian perspective. The first one here has to do with Ellen White's own calling. Our photocopy is from the book Seventh-day Adventists Believe, 27 Fundamentals of the Faith. Let me just give you a little background on this book. Historically, the SDA Church has scorned the official creeds of Christianity, the very idea, in fact, of creeds. And about this book even, they say, we have not written this book to serve as a creed, a statement of beliefs set in theological concrete. Adventists have but one creed, the Bible and the Bible alone. Well, you know, of course, everybody says they believe the Bible, but obviously Seventh-day Adventists have their interpretations, they have their beliefs, obviously these 27 fundamentals, and though they don't want to call it a creed, their belief system nevertheless functions every bit as much as a creed as any of the creeds that Christendom has ever devised, even to the point of some ministers having to leave because they could not promise to teach all these points of doctrine. Now, the text of these 27 fundamental beliefs was hammered out and approved by the 1980 session of the SDA General Conference. They're printed as the frontispieces for the individual chapters of this book. Each chapter of the book is an exposition of one of these 27 fundamentals. At the behest of the president and other officers of the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Ministerial Association, General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, commissioned this book and published it in 1988. At this point, this book really is the latest and probably the most thorough one-volume popular exposition of SDA belief currently available. And they must want it distributed widely. They must see it that way themselves. They must want it distributed widely because they only charge for it about one quarter of what you might expect to pay, what you do pay, in fact, at their Adventist bookstores for other books of similar size and quality. And the point of all this is simply to say that regarding Seventh-day Adventist doctrine, this book does speak authoritatively enough to represent, in its own words, an authentic exposition of Adventist beliefs.